1, 2, 3.
Do it.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay up.
Oh, my God. Loose.
Oh, my God. 30.
No.
Way. Touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Michael Bennett.
It's a Minneapolis miracle.
Alrighty, we're coming back into the studio, Mike, for another episode of Scolders. This time, we are previewing Minnesota Vikings versus Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. How are we doing today, Mike?
Doing well.
You're excited about this game?
I'm very excited. Packer Week is always fun. Sometimes it's not fun, but...
It's this time we get it early.
Certainly lately.
Week two.
It has been. I think, what did I see? We've won 4 of the last 5, against them.
I believe that's correct, yes.
Obviously, sweeping them last year, as many of you know, without Aaron Rodgers for a majority of those games. But nonetheless, it is still a sweep.
Exactly, and you know what? That still counts in the ledger book.
Yes.
Last time I checked. There's no asterisk put by that. That's a win.
No, and then, you know, you've got, going into this week, both teams are 1-0. An exciting finish for the Packers last week to beat the Bears, who blew a 20-point lead in the second half, thanks to Kyle Fuller not being able to catch, amongst other reasons. But, so both teams 1-0. Big game for the division. You know, probably, I'm not going to say this is going to decide the divisional title or anything, but
of course
not. From a tiebreaker standpoint, it certainly goes a long way.
All right, so before we get into the actual look ahead here, let's take a look at the injury report.
Okay.
Recent up today.
Yeah.
Recording Wednesday, or Thursday, rather, so we don't know the final injury report on Friday.
Pretty good idea.
For the Minnesota Vikings, Trey Waynes, Alexander Mack, both full participants. Everson Griffin put on the injury report today with limited participation with a toe injury. Now again, limited, if you're not aware, is anywhere between 1% and 99% participation.
Yeah.
So we don't know. It could have been he sat out of play.
Yep.
You never know. Elfline's still limited, so we'll see what happens there. If he's a full go tomorrow, maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't. I'm not sure at this point. I'd be a lot more confident that he was going to play if he was full participant yesterday and today and tomorrow. So we'll kind of see how that breaks out. Green Bay, Devontae Adams, limited, I believe, with the shoulder. You had Oren Burks, whoever the heck that is, limited participation. Jay Jones, whoever that is, non-participant. And finally, Aaron Rodgers, again, a non-participant. So what does that look like? Is he going to be playing, or what's...
I think Rodgers will be out there. Obviously, he's a veteran at this point where he doesn't need a practice to play. You kind of earn that in the NFL to a point. You get to a certain level where, hey, if you know you're good to go, take the week to kind of rest up. And I think that's really what the situation is right now. Same thing, Adams. I think I saw today practice for the most part in full pads. So he sounds like he's ready to go. So I think the two key guys that we would be worried about on that from a Green Bay standpoint, Adams and Rodgers, I would expect to see them both out there Sunday.
All right, now I got to put this out there. Do you actually have any shred of belief that Aaron Rodgers didn't take any pain medication during halftime of that game?
I mean, the interview is pretty funny. My knee!
My knee, man!
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that to say he didn't have anything, no, I probably don't believe that because...
He had some happy juice going on.
Yeah, I mean...
You know what? He can lie to the reporters. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Not going to get fined for that, but yeah, you were on something. We understand that because we saw exactly Sam Bradford that last year. He came out there in a game and he was clearly on something. So, you know what? You still performed out of your mind, so you were still Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I don't know why you need to hide it. I took some pain meds, whatever. One cares.
Right, yeah. I'm with you on that one.
So what does that mean if Aaron Rodgers is somewhat limited in his play? What does that mean for the Vikings? How do we take advantage of that? And how do we attack that differently from a normal Aaron Rodgers healthy?
I think, so mobility, Rodgers' mobility, we've talked about it here for quite time last year. I mean, I guess going into the first game last year, we talked about it. You know, his mobility is what kills teams. He has an ability to roll out, and as soon as he gets outside of the pocket, a couple things happen. One, his receivers have more time to create separation, and he's said before that it's almost like they're in each other's heads. The receivers go out there, and they're more free-form routes. They look at what the play is going on. They see where Rodgers is going, and they find space, and Rodgers finds them, and he never misses. And so the big thing last year for me was, hey, let's make sure we keep him in the pocket. That's kind of one of the big keys, all these years. It's like, let's try to keep him contained. Well, now I think probably the first time, he's going to be contained. If this knee is really how they're saying, he's not really going to have that ability to scramble. And I think that the fact that Zim's got a whole week to prepare for this. Now, the Bears basically had a half, and obviously it didn't go well. You know, Rodgers was able to pick him apart. Zim getting an entire week to prep for a Rodgers that's not going to be very mobile. I like our chances. I think that we were talking a little bit before the show. My preference would be to bring a guy, an extra guy other than your front four, damn near every play. Just make him know he's got to get rid of that football immediately. Also, I think what that's going to lead to is you're going to hit him multiple times. And I'm talking to hit him clean or whatever, but knock him down. I mean, get to him on every throw and continue to knock him down.
Make his clock run quicker.
Exactly. That tends to lead to mistakes. And I know Rodgers is a guy that has a tendency not to make mistakes, but this is a situation where I really think that this defense, if they can continue to bring pressure, and I mean, last week, the front four, they were a nightmare. They were an absolute nightmare. I think they pressured Jimmy G. We'll maybe have to pull a stat up, but it was something like 22 of
20
30 drops
times,
back.
Yeah.
Basically, every time he dropped back, someone was there. Now, we only had a couple sacks. Obviously, Daniil had a sack that was called back I think it was holding, maybe. I don't remember what the penalty was, but we had one called back.
I think that's right, yeah.
I would expect that sack number to go up this week. I think that Ev will have his hands full, but I think that the other three guys, Linval, Richardson, and Hunter, along with a mix of linebackers, and I would assume maybe Harry. We saw it last week. I would assume we might see it again this week. I think we're going to get to him. We're going to knock him down, and I think that's going to be a key. Let's make him feel pressured. I don't know. I've also seen other. I was telling you on Good Morning Football this week, Nate Burleson, who former player, kind of looks at the game a little bit differently, I think, as an analyst. But he thought that they'd just send the front four and basically just know that he's not going anywhere. So just drop back into really strong coverage. I was telling you, I don't really like that plan. I think, and maybe it's just I'm so scared for Rodgers to have time to throw the ball. I think that's actually probably what it is. It's just every time he drops back, I start counting, and is the longer that he's still back there not getting hit, I just know someone's getting a shred just open by a little bit,
sure.
And that ball goes there. And so I'm just terrified at the thought of us dropping back and letting him try to, make him make good throws, because he will make the good throws. I think it's got to be rush,
we've
rush,
we've seen
rush,
it time
rush,
and time again. We've seen it. He's capable of that. And I think I'm with you there as well. Is the only way you can stop him from being able to throw that accurately and that consistently is to make his clock go faster, is to make his decision-making have to speed up, because he just doesn't have the time to let that stuff develop. And one-on-one, I'll take our DBs against their wide receivers any day.
Right. And especially, so Devontae Adams really hasn't had a great game against Xavier Rhodes. Right. I would assume Rhodes will shadow. So let's just say that goes well. We take Adams out of the picture. You have Geronimo Allison. You have Jimmy Graham. They have another rookie receiver that will be mixed in there. You have Cobb, who still a good player, obviously, as the Bears know last week after the catch, made a really nice play. But you have some of these newer guys that maybe they don't quite have the connection and the understanding with Rodgers. And so maybe it's one of them that makes a mistake. You know, they zig, Rodgers thought he was going to zag, and he's got to get that ball out quick, and it might give an opportunity for a Mike Hughes-type interception where, hey, the player is just not in the right spot, and you know, it's super easy interception. Like, those are the things that I think good things can happen if you can continue to get pressure and just make him think, I got to get rid of this ball, I got to get rid of this ball. So, you know, I think that's something to watch. Jordy Nelson isn't there anymore. Jordy Nelson used to kill us, you know, and I think a big part of that is he knew where to go the longer the play went. And
sure.
I don't know. I'm excited about this game. I'm more confident in this game than I was last week.
Really?
Yeah. I don't see a way that this breaks for Green Bay other than, I mean, their defense would really have to step up, make some huge plays. And I'm not saying that they have a bad defense because I don't think they do. I think it's kind of a middling defense that is at least the way they're going to probably evolve into a good defense over the next few years. They've got some nice pieces. We've talked about Josh Jackson. We've talked about Jair Alexander. You know, two young defensive backs that we both loved going into the draft. And I think
they got both of them.
Yeah, and I think the Packers fans love them right now. But I don't know that they're necessarily ready to step in against an Adam Thielen, a Stephon Diggs, Kyle Rudolph. This is one of the best offenses the Vikings have ever had, and it is certainly a better offense than the Bears last week. So. And I just don't see that defense stepping up. So, yeah, I'm extremely confident in this game.
Okay. By the way, I had a couple Twitter conversations earlier this week.
Yeah.
Of some people calling the Packers cornerbacks better than the Vikings and somehow giving the edge to the Packers D-line over the Vikings D-line. All right. Now, I'm not such a homer that I'm going to pick my team in every single case, but you're absolutely out of your mind if you think our D-line is worse than the Packers D-line. And you're on something pretty special to not understand that our secondary is not even close to being matched by Green Bay.
Right.
Not yet. I'm not saying they don't have good players. I'm not saying they can get there. But not even close right now.
Yeah. I mean, I saw it with some of that. And
people are just high coming up with those takes. I don't know what you're on, but you should probably pass and share it because it's some good shit.
Right.
All right, so we covered Green Bay's offense versus Minnesota Vikings defense. What do we need to do to get after the Green Bay defense? What are you looking for the Vikings offense to make this game just the absolute success that you think it's going to be?
I look for Dalvin Cook. I think Cook is going to have a big game. I'm looking for him to get over 100 yards. Last week, Jordan Howard had a nice game against Green Bay. I think I was actually just pulling that up. I think he averaged over 5 a carry. And we know Dalvin statistically didn't have the game last week. I think he ended up around 40 yards rushing.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
He was just shy of 3, maybe a carry. But he had some really nice runs. He had some strong runs. He looked good, I thought. And we kind of had a balanced attack last week. You know, Cousins threw, whatever, for 245 and 2. Later
rushed for about 100.
Yeah, I mean, Latavius had 40. I think we ran for a little over 100
once you had in the quarterback, whatever, yeah.
So I think they're going to try to get Dalvin going, really sustain some longer drives. And I think it's going to be balanced attack again, but I just think Dalvin's going to get a lot more involved, and I think he's going to get involved from a rushing standpoint. And what I mean by that is last week we threw him a lot, and I'm not saying we're not going to do that this week, but I think they're really going to try to utilize him. They're going to hand the ball off to him a lot more. And I think that based on what I saw last week with some of his runs, I'm really, really excited to watch him against this Green Bay defense. So
he looked really quite spicy, really.
Yeah, he did. Well, he looked like a guy that he's been itching to play for over a year, you know? I mean, I guess technically not quite a year, but a guy that's, you know, missed the better part of last season when he, you know, was right up there in rookie of the year talk through 3 games.
Sure.
So I think he's going to have a lot of fire, a lot of energy. He's probably mad about that fumble last week. So I look for Dalvin to really be a key component in you know, chewing some of that clock, keeping the ball away from Rodgers, and ultimately, if the defense has to start keying in on him, you know, you nailed it. I'm gonna trust Diggs. I'm gonna trust Thielen in some of these matchups to eventually get open. And sure. Cousins, from what I saw last week, I think Cousins will hit those receivers, and it should lead to some big plays. I think the Vikings are gonna have some longer plays this week, which is you can probably tell. I'm excited for this game. I think we match up well, and I can't wait.
What do you feel about Treadwell in this game? I think he's able to get a couple of nice grabs.
I mean, I don't know. Obviously, last week did he only end up with one catch?
I thought he had two.
Okay, then he had the drop.
You talking about the drop that was intended for Kyle?
Yeah, for kind Rudolph. So, I don't know. I don't think I'm not looking like, oh, Treadwell is going to be a key component here. I don't think that necessarily. I think Rudolph, if anything, might get a little bit more involved. Last week, Rudolph with only the one catch. Granted, it was a big one for a touchdown. I would assume you might see a little bit more Kyle Rudolph. Treadwell, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming there may be a game this year where, hey, we're going, you know what, the three receiver has had success against this defense, whatever. But week two going in, I think they're going to rely a little bit more heavily on, you know, playmakers that they can trust in Dalvin and Diggs. And
So what do we think Diggs is going to end up with?
I think Diggs will have a good game. I told you he's played five games against the Packers. I think he's got something like 25 catches for like 350 and three scores. So if you break that out, especially, you know, considering Diggs is a younger younger player, so when he first got in a couple of the games against Green Bay, it might not have been...
I think the first couple of games he was playing and he wasn't starting.
Right, so, so Diggs has had some success, and obviously Diggs looked great last week, so I think that I look for him to be another key component. I think Diggs and Cook are going to be the two pieces. Thielen, I'm sure, is going to get his, but I look for those two to really get it going. That's where I'm seeing the opportunities here, so...
Who gets more yards, Diggs or Thielen?
Ooh, that's a close one. Well, I'll go Diggs.
Diggs?
Yeah. But I think Diggs versus Cook, so rushing versus receiving, I think that's going to be a pretty close number.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's going over 100. I think Cook goes over 100.
And Diggs only gets around 100 yards, too?
Yeah, I think that's a good toss-up for me this week.
Diggs, 180 yards.
I'm feeling really
180 yards good for Diggs.
About this game.
That's what I'm projecting for Diggs.
180?
180.
Woo!
Goes off. All
right.
Just goes nuts. All right, what else we got going on here? we kind of talked about pressure a little bit. Anything else you want to add to the four Norsemen of the Zimpocalypse?
Not much to add. I mean, they...
I mean, you had Richardson come out with just a stellar debut.
Yeah, monster.
I mean, what was it, second or third ranked tackle
last week? I think he was two going into Monday night, and I don't know that anyone surpassed in those
games. Wouldn't be surprised if one of the Rams guys did, but just absolutely monster. And it's worth pointing out, this is what Sharif Floyd would have been had he been able to stay healthy and not have his career-ending injury. So you look at Sheldon Richardson, replace that with Sharif Floyd the last 2 years, and that's what this would have been.
Yeah.
That's what this defense could have been. So it just kind of sucks for Sharif, but you know, now that we got this piece, I can't imagine us letting this go if he continues this trajectory throughout this entire year.
Yeah, you know, I think, and you're kind of the cap guy, but the obvious question from, I think, Vikings fans would be, can you afford him and can you afford Barr?
It gets really complicated.
And that's, I think that's ultimately the question that is going to have to be asked.
Yeah, and you know, here's the honest answer of that. No one's going to like the answer, but if you want to afford them, you got to let Remmers go. You got to recoup that money. You got to let Waynes go because you can't afford that contract. That's going to be $9 million next year. Here's the argument there. Okay, so the argument there is, what do you have behind Waynes? You have a whole stack of DBs that are just chomping at the bit. You have Holton Hill who showed up well. You have Mike Hughes who's showing up well. You have a lot of depth back there where you can bring them up and reasonably not notice that loss. You lose Barr. Who's your next impact player on the linebacker core besides Barr?
Kendricks.
No, but who's the next one that would step in place of Barr?
Oh, So you're saying basically what's the
replacement cost, right?
Right.
There isn't really anyone that can provide the same impact as Barr on the linebacker, and same with the D line. I don't see anyone that's clearly evident that could possibly replace Richardson if we were to let him walk.
And I think at that point, then you need to look at how Zim likes to play defense in games. You know, what is most, and obviously it's DBs. He loves defensive backs. You know, he drafts them all the time. He's developed them. So to me, if you had it, let's say that, and we're only one game in, right? So we're basing this off of one game, but
you know, which is a wild projection. But you know what? This is where we're at right now. So.
I think that if everything continued along a similar track here, I'm going to stay with Waynes. I don't want to see Waynes go, but Waynes would be the guy that I don't envision here. I started saying it last year. I just don't see the path.
I think we were both on the same page last year with that. It's just. He's good. We're not saying he's bad. We're not saying we want him off the team. But judging by just what else is around the team,
yep.
It's just hard to see him.
Yeah, so I think that I don't envision that piece. I think Barr is going to want to get paid like the top of the top. And I don't know that I want to do that either. So then it would lean me towards Richardson right now.
Pay Richardson top of the top.
I would also tell you that I am biased in... I think pressure is such a huge deal. And when you have guys that can self-generate it, and you're talking about pairing it with... We've got Hunter. You know, we've got Ev. Linval, I don't know how long Linval's locked up for, but I think it's another couple of years.
Yeah, it's another 2 or 3 years, yeah.
So then all of a sudden you're talking about establishing a dominant front four that can always... You can just always count on pressure. And I think that's so huge. Especially when you've got really strong defensive backs,
sure.
And an incredibly intelligent safety in Harrison Smith. The linebacker play at that point, especially when you got Kendricks, I think you can plug and play with, you know, whether it be Gedeon or some of these other guys that are going to be coming
Coulson
in.
Eric Coulson was a name in the preseason that was popping up a lot.
So, I guess, yeah, right now I would lean Richardson. Again, we're one game in. I don't know. A lot of things can happen. Guys can get hurt. Who knows? We don't know where this is going to go, but I think that certainly...
This is exactly where I saw this going. Like, this is exactly why we haven't seen a Barr move made yet.
Yeah, I mean...
Because some of these decisions we can't make yet. We don't know what we got in D. Richardson.
Right.
You know? So, yeah.
I think you're right. I think that the Barr decision is probably being cautiously watched. By Spielman, and they're talking constantly, thinking and trying to figure out what is the best play long term for this team. There's clearly a Super Bowl window right now. It's not going to close regardless of what the decision is made, in my opinion.
No.
I think there's way too many pieces on both sides of the
defense,
ball.
That defense is way stacked. If you let Barr walk, you're probably going to be okay. You're probably going to take a step back.
I think if Waynes, Richardson, and Barr all walked, you're still a Super Bowl caliber team because that money is going to go somewhere.
Sure.
And the other pieces that are there, it's still a Super Bowl. This is such a stacked roster. And I think that those are probably the conversations that are happening behind the scenes. And, I mean, in Rick we trust. We've been saying it for a couple of years now. And I think that the decision will be the correct one, ultimately.
However, I will point out, though, that... signing Kirk Cousins to this massive deal that we signed him for has pretty much necessitated the need to have this conversation of you're going to lose one or possibly two of your core guys you've had for the last 3-4 years. I mean, that's just what it has led to. And I'm not saying it was the wrong decision.
Right.
What I'm saying is I put this out there way back, way before, like, you're going to have to pick one of these guys. We don't have the money to keep all these guys. No. And everyone's like, well, we're signing all these guys. They're like, no, we haven't finished it yet.
Yeah.
You still got Waynes on the roster for $9 million next year.
Yeah.
That's going to have to go to someone. You got Barr that's probably going to command, if he hits the open market, $13, $14 million a year. And he'd be worth every penny, but we're not going to pay that because we can't afford that.
Right.
So you're going to lose one of these guys, I think, regardless. So it's just, it's worth noting you're always giving up something when you sign in a big guy.
Right.
You always are.
Yeah. I mean, and the nice thing is we got all three of those guys for this game. You know, it sounds like we're actually going to be a little bit more healthy than week one, because it looks like Mack will be there. Mackenzie Alexander will play. We'll see.
We talked about that. We expect Mack to start in place of Hughes.
I do. We'll see. We won't obviously know that till a little bit later this week or into the weekend, but I think that it just makes sense to have Mackenzie Alexander start and have Hughes come in. It doesn't mean that Hughes might not end up playing just as much.
Just more experience in the system, just a little bit less chance of having a rookie mental error.
Yeah. I guess back to your original question, which I think was the front four and just kind of getting the pressure. I look for them to bring an additional player from all over constantly. And maybe we see a certain safety that we didn't see play at all last week. You know, maybe...
Anthony Harris?
Yes. I don't know, but I think they're going to try to disguise some things, keep Rodgers on his toes. Pressure's going to be huge. But yeah, I mean, when your front four is this good, there's not much else to say. I mean, it's just do what you do, continue to get pressure.
Just turn them loose and try to create some exotic looks that'll get them some favorable situations.
Yeah, just collapse that pocket, you know, and make sure he's in there when it collapses.
let's make it roll.
Yeah.
All right, so you want to move on to predictions, and then we can go to our second week of our prediction of the
Games, I mean, the only other thing I would note would be special teams, I think, would be something to keep an eye on this game. It'll be Carlson's first game on the road in a hostile environment. Obviously,
outdoors,
Crosby's been there forever. Now, the weather is supposed to be beautiful. I think it's supposed to be something like 80, 85 and sunny. I would assume that most likely means, unless the next day there's a big temperature drop, there's probably not going to be a ton of wind.
Sure.
But I do think that Green Bay has an advantage in the kicking and special teams area. So let's hope it doesn't come down to where we need to depend on, you know, a lot of those kicks. But
otherwise, we're going to have kicker watch shows in 18
well,
again.
Well, hey, and you know what? I guess maybe at the end of the day, maybe it would be a good thing if Carlson nails the game winner. But I think it would... I just don't see the game breaking this close. I really don't. But... So just something to keep an eye on.
All right, score prediction, Mike. What do you got?
You know, I have a difficult time ever projecting a blowout at Lambeau. I think last year, what, we went in there and shut them out, something like 16-0, 17-0,
something like that.
Probably one of the more lopsided wins there in quite some time. I think it was the Vikings' first shutout since like 94 or something. I remember that stat blowing me away. But I think everything is breaking fortunate for the Vikings right now. They're healthy. They looked strong week one. And this is, at the end of the day, one of the most championship-ready rosters that we've ever seen. And it just is one of the best rosters in the NFL. It's a defense that's played together for quite a while. It's an offense that has some star power. They're hungry. And I think when you look at the other side, you have Aaron Rodgers, but what else do you have? You have a lot of question marks. You have a banged-up Devontae Adams that probably will be neutralized by Xavier Rhodes. You have a young defense that you don't really necessarily know what they're made of, and they haven't been tested by an offense of this caliber. And when you throw in the lack of Rodgers' mobility, which I think is a key, I just think that this is leading to a double-digit win for the Vikings. I am going to say Vikes 27, Green Bay 16.
Wow. I have Vikes 27, Green Bay 17. Look at it. I had it written down.
Wow.
Different color pen, so you know it was in there before you even said it. So we're on the same page here.
Yeah, and I mean, like literally, I said, if this wasn't, you know, just the Lambeau Field, and if this was played at a neutral field or at home, and this was just Team A, Team B, and you explained the whole situation to me, I would be picking this to be 34-14. I mean, something, you know, I would even be expanding this a little bit more, but. You know, things always tend to happen on the road. It's Green Bay, you know, whatever. There's some history. So this game will probably end up being a little bit closer than it should be. But I still think it's a comfortable win for the Vikings, and they take a commanding lead in the North.
Okay, here's the other question for you then.
All right.
What's your pick game for us to.
Oh, my pick game, pick on, huh? Remember? Yeah.
I do that.
Yeah. All right. Can do that for you.
See, I'll do mine first here, and then we can you can look up yours. I think I'm gonna choose. We have to do a fourth game too, so I think the fourth game we'll just do tonight's game.
Okay.
Pick one of that.
Ravens Bengals.
Okay. Yep. So for my game, I will go Kansas City at Pittsburgh.
Very nice. Very nice game. That's a fun one. I'm gonna go Patriots Jaguars.
Alrighty. So, Kansas City at Pittsburgh. Who you got?
Man, I'm loving Mahomes. I'm a little bit worried about the Le'Veon situation. Don't think he plays this week. I know everything is pointing towards, oh, Pittsburgh, you know, they never should have tied Cleveland. They're going home. But, man, give me Mahomes. Give me the Tyreek Hill connection. I think Hunt gets it going a little bit finally on the ground, and I think I'm going Kansas City in an upset.
I think for almost every single same reason you just said, I think that's the same thing I'm going. I think just without having Lev Bell, I think he gives them something they don't realize they're missing yet.
Well, and Connor had a great game last
week. He had a great game, but, you know, that guy just has a tendency to just take over games that he needs to.
He's a game changer.
So, Kansas City, they just look hot right now, and if Pittsburgh can start off 0-2, that's just going to lead to my theory of this is the year they're out of the playoffs somehow. So I'm with Kansas City on that as well. Patriots at Jacksonville.
That's a good one, man. Rematch, NFC Championship rematch. Yes. AFC Championship rematch, yeah. I'm going to say that, you know, Brady, I was really curious last week, Houston, going into Foxborough for week one, whatever, obviously Deshaun Watson, you got Hopkins, whatever, and Patriots took care of business. They ended up winning, I think, 27-20. Houston brought it back a little bit towards the end, but...
It's the old adage, you know, good teams win the games they should.
Yep. And Jacksonville went into, played the Giants, and ended up winning that game, like, 2015, but Odell was missed on a couple touchdowns, so I think... Gonna say the Giants should have won that game, but the Giants could have won that game.
They had the opportunities.
Yeah, so I'm gonna say Brady and company spoil the Jags' home opener and go in. I think they win big.
Big, like as in like
14 or more.
Oh wow. Okay. I am not that optimistic about that. I think Jacksonville at home, odd enough to say, is gonna be a little bit too much for Brady to handle. I think they're going to get after him early and often. They're going
no to Fournette. Keep in mind, again. Probably no Fournette.
Not going to matter.
Right.
Blake Bortles is going to slice him up.
Oh, God.
No, probably not, but I'm betting there's going to be at least one defensive score. I think it's going to make the difference. I think it's going to be a close one. It's going to be a gritty, grindy game. But I think Jacksonville's going to take that one.
Okay.
All right. Baltimore at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Fun game, actually.
Pick game too. It's pretty even.
Well, and the cool thing about this, I guess, is if you listen to our NFL preview show, we both liked each. I think you liked the Ravens and I liked the Bengals this year to improve.
Yep.
And they have some history. Bengals go into Baltimore last game of the year last year and knock them out of the playoffs. And so a lot of history here already.
Well, divisional game.
Divisional game. It'll be fun. Ravens coming off like a 47-3 win, and then Bengals coming off a nice road win at Indy. So both teams are hyped. They both played really well. But I'm going to say I think this is the best offense Flacco's had around him, and I trust that defense a little bit more. So I'm going to go Baltimore. I think this one's coming right down to the wire. I'm saying a field goal by Are You Not Entertained? Mr. Tucker wins it.
Okay.
As the clock strikes zero.
I'm going Cincinnati on this. I think Baltimore gets a false sense of confidence after that Buffalo win last week. They come in here and they get down early. I think, like you, it's going to be a close game, but I don't think they can come back quite enough after an early lead by Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That's what I got. That's our four games, Mike.
Okay.
We got a couple varying ones here. I think I beat you last week.
Yeah, I think I went 0-3 last week.
Well, we had four last week, so I can bring up our history here, see what we got. Okay, let's see. Where did I bring it up here?
Did anyone tweet any advice for me at Lambeau this week?
I don't think I put it out asking for any.
We might need to do that. Also, it was supposed to be 2-2. You know, two Green Bay guys, two Vikings guys. The Viking guy dropped. So now...
Which Viking guy dropped?
I don't want to name.
But is it the one that I'm thinking it is?
No. Well, because that's a Packer guy.
Oh, I thought you said the... Okay, then okay.
Yeah, Packer so right now it's two Packer guys and me going.
Okay.
So I'm feeling a little... Now I'm a little more nervous, you know?
Don't be scared, Mike. I wouldn't be scared.
All right.
You know, you'll be fine.
All right.
You know, Last week, I chose Green Bay. I pinged out late game heroics by Aaron Rodgers.
What a joke.
And, that turned out to be true.
God, my Chicago picks.
Seattle failed us both, and Detroit failed us.
See, I thought we only picked three.
But we also picked Minnesota game, too.
Oh, okay.
Four. Yeah. And then this one, because Minnesota plays Green Bay.
All right, I got you.
So, we got it there. I'm picking Minnesota, Kansas City, Jacksonville, Cincinnati. You're picking Minnesota, Kansas City, Patriots, and Baltimore.
Oh, so we got a couple different, and we start tonight. Make sure you set your fantasy lineups.
True. I got to do that before this game starts in, about an hour here?
Yeah, something like that.
So, yeah, I think that's going to do it for us. Any last thoughts on Vikings?
No, just wish me some luck. New stadium. I'm going to, scope it out.
You know, just to get ahead of things, if you want to send in your audition tapes to Scolders Podcast in case my co-host gets murdered out there.
Follow me Sunday. I'll be trying to do some tweeting during the game, talking about the atmosphere and the drunken sconnies all around me.
At @Muskie_Mike. That's where he's at on Twitter, so
you
follow that.
You may see
up.
My final words.
You never know,
Maybe I'll take some videos.
I've seen some crazy stuff happen.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure you'll have some Snapchat videos, too.
Absolutely.
Anyway, like I said, you're Muskie_Mike. I'm @Demok7. Scolders.com. That's where Alice is at. I'm also part of the Climbing the Pocket Network.
Yeah. Awesome stuff. Check
them
out.
We're everywhere, man.
Yeah. Let's go, baby.
That's
Pack
it.
Week. Let's get them.
2-0.
2-0.
Let's get this division, man.
Kings
let's get this
North.
Wrapped up early.
I'm ready. Dalvin. Remember, you heard it. Dalvin. 130-2.
You heard it also here. Diggs. 180.
Okay.
Why is that so unrealistic?
We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.